Song of Solomon, beginning in that first chapter, that passage that Brother Darrell read. That first verse, Song of Solomon 1, says, "The Song of Songs," which is Solomon's. Now, on the outset, as we begin considering this book, this song was penned by Solomon, no doubt about that. But Solomon is not the author of this. Solomon here, the name Solomon means peace. Peace. Solomon here is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we look and consider this chapter, you're going to see this is a song that is written. This book is about the relationship that the Lord Jesus Christ has with His bride and the bride with her Lord. And the speech between the two. The Song of Songs, which is Solomon's, or which is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Scripture says He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords, and He's the Song of Songs. Christ. Solomon was the son of David. There's no doubt about that, but there's a greater than Solomon of whom we speak here. Song of Songs. The glory of Almighty God and the comfort of His church is this song's end or purpose. This is the message. All of the relationship between the church and the Lord Jesus Christ is verbalized in this song. Oh, that God give me a heart to be able to see it, and you, hearts, see it. I'm telling you, there's a message, there's conversation in here that is so loving, so tender, just to be able to see how the bride speaks of Him. This song reveals the mysteries of divine love into which even the angels desire to look. They consider, marvel. Only a believer, that is one that is taught of God, taught by God's Spirit, only a believer can begin to enter into the depth of this song, the Song of Songs. A man or woman can read this just like they read any other Scripture, and it absolutely means nothing. The song begins with the desire of the bride. This is truly the bride's heart. This is the believer's heart. This is what they long after. This is what they hunger for. She says in verse 2, "Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine." Let him kiss me. Let him kiss me. It is not the doctrines of grace. I am a Calvinist. I am Calvinistic in my doctrine. That means you understand. We talk about 5 points of Calvinism. These blessed doctrines, these truths that are found, they didn't originate with Calvin. Calvin didn't write them. These are truths that are set forth in Scripture. Man's totally depraved. There is no doubt about that. And God Almighty, unconditionally, elected, no condition in us that He would see in us to elect us or choose us in His Son. Particular redemption or limited atonement. The Lord Jesus Christ died for His elect. Irresistible grace. God Almighty calls His people out. They shall come. And they persevere. These blessed truths that we set forth in the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. No doubt about it. But I'll tell you this. A believer is not one who is in love with a doctrine. He's in love with a person. 5 points of Calvinism didn't die for him. Christ died for him. Let him kiss me. Oh, I know that I've heard the word preached through the messenger, but let him kiss me. Tonight, this is the desire of you that believe. Let him, it's personal. Let him speak to me. David said in Psalm 73:25, "Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there's none upon earth that I desire but thee." We love each other. That's the evidence. The Lord Jesus Christ says, "By this shall all men know that you're my disciples. You have love one for another." We love one another. But I'll tell you this, the heart of a believer is that let him, he who has everlastingly loved me, he who lived for me, he who died for me, he who was buried for me, he who was raised for me, who ascended for me, who sits even now at the right hand of God interceding for me, let him. It's personal. I want him. He is the one. He's the pearl of great price. And the bride speaks just as if everyone knows of whom she speaks. Let him. Mary Magdalene, after the Lord had risen from the dead, He was standing and she came up, coming up there to the tomb. And she thought He was the gardener. And she said to Him, this is her speech, "Sir, if Thou hast borne Him hence, tell me where Thou hast taken Him, and I'll take Him away." It's Him. Who do you love? I love Him. Lord, You. He. Him. That's the speech of obvious affection. The Lord spoke to Peter at the seaside. He said, "Peter, lovest Thou me more than these? Lord, Thou knowest that I love Thee." That's who the bride speaks of. Him. And what does the bride desire? This is what she says. "Let Him kiss me." Let Him kiss me. It's personal. I long, I desire, I pray. And I encourage you, pray. Just as Brother Darrell praying for those that are sick and pray for those that are ill. Pray for this church. The Lord has been pleased to establish, keep this church. This is a haven where we can come, sit, we worship, be able to sit together and hear the gospel. Fellowship together. We fellowship in Him, in this blessed word, His word. But I'll tell you what the believer, when it comes right down to it, it's what he said, "Lord, You, let Him kiss me. Kiss me. Lord, I need You to do something for me. Kiss me." The Scripture, Psalm 2:12 says, "Kiss the Son, lest He be angry." But I know this, He must kiss me before I will kiss Him. He loved me before I loved Him. I love Him because He first loved me. The believer says, "Let Him kiss me. Let Him kiss me." If He kisses me, if He sets His affection on me, if He gives me a heart for Him, I have a heart for Him. I need a fresh manifestation of His love to me. I need Him to kiss me tonight. That's what I desire. For Christ to kiss His bride is for Him. What is that? That's what Solomon is saying here, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let Him kiss me with the kisses of His mouth. What is that? For Christ to kiss His people. What is let Him kiss me? A husband kisses his wife. That is a token of his affection for her. He kisses her. He loves her. He loves her. For the Lord Jesus Christ to kiss His bride is for Him, by the revelation of the Holy Spirit, to sensibly, and I cannot enter into this any other way except by faith. But I know that there is a personal interaction with God's people and the Lord Jesus Christ. He kisses them, they hear His word, and sensibly and effectually, spiritually, powerfully, knowingly, He reveals Himself to them in tenderest affection, reveals Himself to their soul, and they are assured of His cordial love. They know Him. They know Him. David said in Psalm 119:25, he said, "My soul cleaveth unto the dust." It means it follows after, follows closely after the dust. Then he said, "Quicken thou me according to thy word." Revive me. Revive me. There is something that happens when God's people are blessed by the Spirit of God to the hearing of the gospel. They hear it and they're revived by it. They're enlivened by it. The Lord is referred to here as kissing them. The showing of His affection. This is the natural desire of the new heart. Not of the old heart, but the new heart. There's a conscience, an interest, a hungering for the affection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I need Him. I desire Him. Let Him kiss me personally with the kisses of His mouth. Kisses of His mouth. His Word. Let His kisses come from Him. From His Word. His preached Word made real to me. I've heard doctrine that I said a moment ago. I've heard doctrine preached before. But I tell you what I need. I need to hear from Him. Let Him kiss me with the kisses of His mouth. Many kisses. Many. Let Him kiss me with kisses. Kisses of comfort. There's desires that we have. There's needs that we have. I need Him. I need comfort. I need joy. Joy of the Lord. I need a fresh manifestation of being reconciled to God. I need to hear again of His friendship. Say, "Well, yeah, but didn't you hear about that last Sunday? Didn't you hear about that, how the Lord put away your guilt? And how can a man..." Sunday night, I preached on this. How should a man be just with God? How should a man be just with God? Wasn't that enough that you heard it last Sunday night and probably last Sunday morning too, and Sunday night before that, and Sunday morning before that? But wasn't that enough? No. No. Just like old blind Bartimaeus. I don't know how many times he had heard about this Jesus, "Thou Son of David," you know, that had healed a blind man. Spit on the ground, heard. He said, made some spittle and put it on him, told him, he said, "Go wash." Heard how he had made the lame walk, and, you know, how many times do you think that he would get tired of hearing of Him who had made the blind to see? Oh, blind Bartimaeus. You know, I need to hear of His kisses. Let the words of His mouth, that is from His heart, kiss me. Out of the abundance of a man's heart, his mouth speaketh. You ever heard that? Out of the abundance of a man's heart. The Lord said in Matthew 12:25, "A good man out of the treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things." Out of the abundance of a man's heart, his mouth speaketh. Christ said, a good man, and not one, but there's not but one good. The good man. I need for the good man to kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. None good but God. So when he kisses me with the kisses of his mouth, his gracious words of affection and love to me enliven me, quicken me again, encourage me. I need encouragement tonight. I need encouragement. I need to hear it one more time. I am so, like David a while ago, my soul cleaveth unto the dust. It just follows close. It just, you know, just right there in the dirt. All to revive me, quicken me according to your word. Let me hear something. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Better than wine. His love is everlasting. His love is pure. His love is sovereign. His love is distinguishing. His love has been manifested by his obedience. His love, he says, thy love is better than wine. Thy love, for the love of his Father, for the love of his people, for the love of the everlasting covenant. He came into this world being sent by the Father. He lived in strict obedience to the law. He died for his people. He put away their sin, buried with them, raised for them, ascended into heaven. He said, thy love is better than wine. Wine here, there's many pictures of wine. Wine, we take the Lord's Supper, it's a picture of the blood. Wine has many representations. Here, though, it has a representation of that which is pleasing to the taste, refreshing to the body, and exhilarating to a man's enjoyment. You know. But the sense is that Christ's love to the believer is better than that which anything else represents. Wine is cheerful, it's cheering. But he said, your wine is cordial to my soul. The innermost being, your love purifies why it gladdens me. Your love manifested to me. Kiss me with the kisses of your mouth. Your love is better than wine. Wine in itself is a mocker, and at last bites like a serpent. But his love has no sting to it. Not his. Your love. Wine. Man's thoughts of joy and comfort is going to perish. But his love is unchanging, everlasting. Kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Because, verse 3, of the savor of thy good ointments, thy name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. Because of the savor of your good ointments, the Lord Jesus Christ, these ointments, now that has to do with anointing. You know when David was anointed? Remember when the prophet went and he was going to try to find, you know, the king who God was going to raise up as the king. And it came right down to the last boy, David. And he anointed him. He poured him. That anointing, that oil, that ointment, whatever, it was a symbol of appointment. That's a symbol, appointing. So here it speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, the savor of thy good ointments, or of thy appointed ointments, the anointing. The Lord Jesus Christ was anointed by the Holy Spirit. And that Spirit, the Scripture says, was given to him without measure. He is the Anointed One because of the smell, the fragrance of who you are, of you who has been appointed by the Father from everlasting, the savor of that to the believer. He is the anointed Messiah, the anointed Savior. The Luke 4:18 says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Why? Because He hath anointed. That word anointed there means appointed me. The Lord said of Himself, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because God has appointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and the recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." The bride says this, "Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. His love to me is better than wine, better than anything, the most pleasant thing that a man can think of. His love for me is better than that because of the smell of that to which he's been appointed." He is the appointed Savior, appointed by God. He's the Messiah. He is Emmanuel, God with us. In the smell of that, it has a sweet smell, a savor of life to me. That's what the bride is saying. Turn with me to Psalm 45. Psalm 45, verse 6 to 8. Psalm 45, David is speaking under the inspiration of the Spirit of God. "Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a righteous scepter. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. All thy garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia, out of the ivory palaces whereby they have made thee glad." He smells to the believer of life. His mediatorial garments, the garments of his obedience, have a smell, David says, of myrrh and aloes and cassia. Back in Song of Solomon, the believer says this of him, "Because of the smell of thy good ointments, because of the savor of that which you've been appointed to, that which you have accomplished, you were appointed to be the Savior, and you saved your people. You redeemed your people. You were sent, God, with us," and that smells of life. That means that you've not left any of this up to me. "Lord, you came to seek and to save that which is lost." Oh, the savor of your garments. Look at Hebrews 1. Hebrews chapter 1. Verse 8 and 9. Hebrews 1. Verse 8 and 9. "But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows." He's appointed him. He's appointed him. "That's my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased." There's the Savior. There's the Redeemer. There's the surety. That's him. And the believer says, "That smells like aloes to me. That smells like myrrh to me. That has a perfume smell to me. It smells of hope and peace." As a man, here he is, God with us. Remember when the angel came the night of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ? And he says unto you, "This day in the city of David is born a Savior." A Savior. A Savior. And a believer hears that. The Savior. Who is that Savior? It's the one who loves me. Oh, let him kiss me. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Tell me once again how he loves me, how he has embraced me. Oh, as a man, this one, this anointed one, this appointed one, as a man, by his obedience to the law, had a smell of sweetness and excellence to his Father. His name is as perfume in heaven. He was a sweet smell, satisfaction smell. And we, in him, are a sweet smell and savor to the Lord. Unto God, a sweet savor of Christ. Oh, he who is the anointed one, meek, harmless, separate from sinners. And because of the savor of thy good ointments, thy name, Solomon says in that latter part of verse 3, is poured forth. Thy name is as ointment poured forth. Christ was anointed or appointed as Messiah, Christ, the anointed one. And because of the savor, the sweet fragrance of his good ointments, graces bestowed, thy name, his name, Messiah, prophet, priest, and king, Emmanuel, God with us. He was poured forth because, verse 3, of the savor, the smell of thy good ointments, of thy appointment, thy name, Emmanuel, God, is as a ointment poured forth. He gave himself. He was poured out. He was as perfume poured out. Now, I'll tell you what, that verse of Scripture was beautifully illustrated in the Gospels. There was Mary Magdalene, and the Lord was in Bethany, in a house of Simon, I believe. But he was there, and Mary Magdalene came in, and she had a box. It was a little alabaster box. Now, alabaster is a stone. It's a very costly stone. It's a stone, and it holds this perfume. It's called spikenard. And it was made from a plant that's crushed. The name of the plant's nard, N-A-R-D, nard. And they make it and crush it, and they make the perfume out of that. It's very, very costly. Now, there's pictures of Christ itself. He was crushed under the judgment of Almighty God, but it took, that perfume was in that alabaster box, that stone box, and it had a seal on it, a stone, and it was kind of fused together. And the only way that you could get the perfume out of the box, out of the stone, out of that little encasement, was to break it. They had to break the stone. And she did it. She took that box, that alabaster box, and she broke it. And she anointed the Lord. She poured it on him. And it says, and the savor of it just filled the room. And they smelled it. And you know how some of those disciples, you know, said, why wasn't that sold for 300 pence? And that could have been given to the poor and stuff like that. The Lord said, you leave her alone. She has done this unto my death. That was a picture of Christ himself broken. Christ, our alabaster box. Christ, that box broken, so that the fragrance of that crushed spikenard, that perfume, and it, she poured it on it and they could smell it. It smelled, had a savor about it. It was wonderful. Solomon says, because of the smell of your good ointments, of your appointments, the Lord is, here's his good ointments, here's his good appointments, here's his good anointings. He was appointed to be the Messiah. He was appointed to be the Savior. He was the appointed, he was the surety, anointed, sent. And then he says, thy name is as a ointment that's poured out. What you did, what you accomplished, you're the Savior, and you were poured out. You gave of yourself. And that smell is a smell of hope and peace. You gave yourself for me. Poured out, given, imparted righteousness to His people. Therefore, do the virgins love Thee. The virgins. His fragrance is spiritually perceived. Now, this is speech, I'll tell you, and I know this. I'm aware of this from myself. I know this. Unless the Lord gives me a heart to understand anything about what this is saying right here. This is love talk. This is love talk. The talk of one redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And she says to him, and soon he's going to talk back to her. And they have a conversation that goes on. And it's amazing to see. And you think, this is actually the way that the Lord speaks to His people. And she says back to him, she tells him, she longs for him. She says, you kiss me. Kiss me with the kisses of your mouth. And your appointments, your anointings. You've been poured out. You've been poured for. And it smells. It has life. And the virgins love Thee. It pleases the Father to reveal Him. He says, the virgins love Thee. The virgins. Who are they? Who are they? Who are these virgins? The virgin souls that's spoken of in Revelation 14. Those who by the imputed righteousness of Christ are, as being found in Him, not defiled with the corruptions that are in the world through lust. 2 Corinthians 11:3 refers to them as chaste virgins to be presented by Christ. Those who have been washed white, whose robes are washed white. Those who stand in Christ with no condemnation. Virgins, the virgins love these spiritual virgins. Not that there's anyone in here who has never sinned or is pure in themselves. Virgins before Almighty God by the imputed righteousness of Christ. This fragrance is hidden from the wise and the prudent, but it's revealed unto babes. Those that have been made babes before Almighty God. God has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Himself is loved. Therefore, do the virgins, spiritual virgins, love Thee. By virgin souls, that's what it means. Virgin souls, those who have been given a new heart after Him. Those that have been given faith, true faith, that worketh by love. Not that, as I said, that there's not that old nature that remains. There's a new man, though. Paul says, in my flesh, that is in me, in my flesh, there dwells no good thing. There's an old flesh nature that, serves the law of sin. But he said, with my mind, I serve the law of God. There is a new man there that loves Him, that longs after Him, that hungers for Him, that desires that He kiss them. Kiss me. Follow after me, that I may follow after Thee. And those that love Him, love Him. I tell you, what is the evidence of one that loves Christ? Well, they trust Him for salvation. They trust Him. They don't trust themselves. They don't look to themselves. They don't rest in themselves. They love Him. Because He has said who He is. He says, no man can come to me except the Father which hath drawn him, sent me draw him. And the believer says, Lord, that's right. I can't. I can't do it. Lord, draw me. Lord, You draw me. Now, that's what they say, and I'm going to not get into verse 4 tonight. But that's where the next part will come up. Look at verse 4. What does the believer say? Draw me and we'll run after Thee. That's what they say. Lord, You draw me, and You draw me now, and You draw me now. And right now, a believer right now is saying this, Lord, You draw me. Lord, You draw me. If You don't draw me, I won't come. You must continually. I won't get into that, though. They trust Him, though. They trust Him in providence. They hunger for His presence. And they long for His kisses. And they understand that. They understand something of that. They desire His affection. He says, I've loved you with an everlasting love. And they said, Lord, kiss me. Kiss me. Kiss me. Kiss me with the kisses of your mouth. The kisses of your mouth. That's what I desire. That's what I hunger for. That's what I long after. I need to hear of Him. I need to hear of Him again. And by God's grace, if He allows me to be here Sunday, I need to hear of Him again. Hear Him again. The virgins love Thee. This is the song of songs. This is a song that only a believer knows anything about. This is the song. They sing that song. We sing songs. You know, we'll sing a song, Oh, How I Love Jesus. You know, I was thinking while I was singing that song a while ago, I was looking at those words and I thought to myself, oh, how pitiful I am that I'm reading. I can read these words and these are good words. These are good words concerning Him. But oh, how needful I am to understand. I need to hear more, understand more. But I'm thinking, oh, He's the song of songs. I like, you know, oh, good, so come thou fount. I like that song. You know? There's a fountain filled with blood, hymn number 222. I like that song. That's a hint. I like that song. 222. Oh, I like that. You know, Amazing Grace, 236. I like that song. Oh, that's a good song. I like it. He's the song of songs. If God Almighty ever teaches a man that song, that's the song of his heart. I want to sing of Him. Kiss me with the kisses of your mouth. Your ointments, your anointing, the being anointed by the Father. Oh, you smell of life, hope, peace. The song of songs. Bad.